We've been in this series on the Feast of the Lord. How many, when you were kids, liked to take road trips? Or liked to take road trips with your kids? I always enjoyed road trips. Shotgun! You know, you'd try to go and grab the best seat in the house. Of course, when you're the youngest of all, you don't usually get that seat. So, anyway, road trips were great to have. And a road trip is kind of what we've been on. As we've taken a look at the other lessons on the Feast of the Lord, this is part 10 this morning, and this is our third and final on the Feast of Tabernacles. Remember, and let's do just a little bit of summary as we go through with the calendar, and the sacred calendar of Israel is what we've been referring to. God's got something to say to us through the feast. How many believe that's true? We have not been looking at the feast for a legalistic application in our lives, so we go don our robes and do all of those kinds of things. Some Christians do that. More power to them if that's what they want to do. No problem. My heart, as your pastor, has been to say, okay, how do we see Jesus in these feasts? How do we see what He's done, what He's done for us, and what His great provision is? Now, remember, how many times a year were the males to come up before the Lord in Jerusalem? How many times?
Three
times a year. And they were connected with the festivals, and the festivals were connected with the harvest seasons. There was rejoicing for the blessings of God. You remember the Greek word moed or moed? That's the Hebrew word, rather. Sorry, not Greek. The Hebrew word for signs and seasons. These events, these convocations, if you will, these events that the Lord told them to do were not just the feasts of the Jews, they were the feasts of the Lord. Something for all of us to understand, and they were dress rehearsals. The word convocation is mikra, if you remember. The word refers to a dress rehearsal. So they do these feasts as dress rehearsals for what is fulfilled in Jesus. How many are glad you're on this side of the cross? And you're glad for what Jesus did for you. All right, so we started with the first month, which is Passover. And there's Passover, and then 7 days of unleavened bread. It was oftentimes called the 8 days of unleavened bread. And then the sheaf of first fruits. The Passover was where they got a perfect spotless lamb called the Paschal Lamb. And how many are glad that Jesus was the perfect Lamb of God, or is the perfect Lamb of God, who shed His blood for you and me? Remember, they shed the blood, put the blood on the doorpost, the death angel passed over. Well, in Jesus, we're saved by grace through faith, not of yourselves, lest any man should boast. We're saved and washed clean by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yes,
all right, so Passover is fulfilled by Jesus. And in fact, He fulfilled it on that very day of Passover. Unleavened bread was separation unto the Lord. Get rid of the leaven, which usually refers to sin and pride in the Scripture. Then you have the sheaf of first fruits. Jesus was the first fruits of resurrection. He fulfilled that. And the sheaf of first fruits, as part of this Passover celebration or unleavened bread celebration, was when they would take the first grains of barley that were harvested, the first ripe grains, and they would wave them as a priest before the Lord, representing thanksgiving for what was to come. Jesus is the first fruits of resurrection, and how many know those of us who love Him and believe in Him get to follow Him in resurrection?
Yeah.
Are you looking forward to resurrection?
Yes.
Turn to each other and say, come on, get resurrected right now. All right. Living in resurrection, resurrection life. All right, then we go over to the third month, and there is Pentecost there. And that was the wheat harvest. And Pentecost actually was, the first Pentecost was Moses in the mount getting the law from God and getting the direction of how to turn Israel into a congregation or a nation. How many realize that was fulfilled in Acts chapter 2 when the early church was birthed with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? Aren't you glad to be a part of that outpouring? Have you had your personal Pentecost? Have you had your personal Passover? All right. So then we go on to the seventh month. There's an interval in between. And it's just hot during that time. The sun beats down on the crops and they get ready. How many know sometimes in your Christian life it's hot? And sometimes the Lord refines us with fire and all of those kinds of things. But then there comes, if you would lift that up, Pat, just a little bit, there comes the final series of feasts. So basically there are seven, three main ones, or seven to which we refer. There's the Feast of Trumpets, where you blow the trumpets, and the Bible says the Word of God, which is blown by prophets, priests, apostles, teachers, pastors, etc. They're blowing the trumpet of the Word of God, and the trumpet needs to make a certain sound. And basically, the sound was like this. Get ready, atonement's coming. Get ready to meet with your God. And 10 days later, they had 10 days in Israel of what they called 10 days of awe, where you know you were being examined before the Lord, and then comes the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, where there's the day of examination before the Lord, where the high priest goes in once a year into the most holy place, if you remember the tabernacle of Moses, where the ark of God's presence was. And he brought the blood, and he also brought the incense, the worship, the prayer, the praise of the saints. And all of that occurred on atonement, the most sacred day of the year. And then, 5 days later, they move into tabernacles. Now, the Feast of Tabernacles we've been talking about the last couple of weeks. Remember, what are the names? Feast of Tabernacles, Feast of Booths, not Booths, Booths, the Feast of Ingathering. That's right. Because what did it represent? The final ingathering of the fruit harvest. You had Passover, which was barley. You had Pentecost, which was wheat, and then at the end of their sacred year, the final ingathering was the fruit. This is the final wrap-up celebration. This was the happiest celebration of all. This was a time of great party down, party time with God. Because you're going to give Him thanks. Now, they prayed for rain. They prayed that God would outpour and move, and it represented the Spirit moving. But they needed their crops to get ready for the next series of Passover and Pentecost. But all of these things took place in tabernacles. Now, we also talked about, if you recall, let's go to the notes now, Pat, if you would. If you recall, we had the Feast of Tabernacles that's called the Feast of the Book. The Feast of the Book. Remember, in the Ark of the Covenant was the Pentateuch, first five books of Moses. And every seventh year, not on Passover, not on Pentecost, but on Tabernacles, they were to bring up the book to read it and teach it to the people. The two prophets who prophesied that stirred up the people of God after they returned from Babylonian captivity to rebuild the temple were Ezra, Nehemiah, and then there was Haggai and Zechariah. The two leaders were Ezra and Nehemiah. The two prophets were Haggai and Zechariah. But if you go to Ezra and Nehemiah, how many have read Ezra and Nehemiah? Okay, you recall they stood there for a quarter of the day while the Word of God was being read. And all of these things were happening. This was all part of the Feast of Tabernacles, that seventh year return where they would hear the Word of God. The Word of God was always important, but it's also called the Feast of the Book. And the Torah, which was the Old Testament law and prophets and the Pentateuch especially, its root is Yara or Yara, and it means to flow like a river or like rain. Remember, the scripture says, His doctrine shall descend like the dew, will come up into the mountain of the house of the Lord, and His law will go forth, His Torah, like a river, His law will go forth and teach us of His ways. Remember all that? All right, there was the Feast of Illumination, and we talked very quickly here. The Feast of Illumination. Remember on the Feast of Tabernacles, the court of the women in front of the temple. 15 steps, they were the 15 psalms being represented. And then you had them worshiping before God with four. How tall were the candlesticks? Okay, that's memorable, isn't it? Four 75-foot tall candlesticks. Up at the top of those candlesticks, there were bowls of oil. And those bowls held 7 to 8 gallons of oil. And they would take and make strips out of the old priest's garments. And those were the wicks. By the way, do you know what those were called? Swaddling clothes. See how the Bible all kind of fits together, doesn't it? Anyway, so they would wrap these things and place them in the oil, and those were the wicks, if you will. And when they lit these on fire, there was no electricity in that day. You could see those 75-foot tall candlesticks burning for 30 to 40 miles. Jerusalem became known as, or was called, the light of the world. At the Feast of Tabernacles is when Jesus stood up and said, with that in mind and everybody knowing and seeing and celebrating like crazy, he calls out, I am the light of the world. That's exactly how it unfolded. And do you think the people of Israel knew exactly what he meant? Yeah. They were stunned. No wonder the priests didn't like him. But remember, what were the priests doing? The dress rehearsal, the convocation, the mikrah, the dress rehearsal to show the real. And Jesus stands up and says, okay, yoo-hoo, here I am, the real, the fulfillment. What else happened at the Feast of Tabernacles? The water libation ceremony. And recall, there were groups of priests that went out. Let me just quickly do this as an aside. We just referred to it last week. Again, you can get these on gracechristiancenter.us. That's right. You can listen to these. Anyway, the water libation ceremony. One group of priests went out and collected palm trees. Now, do you know, I read one commentator that said the palm leaves and the palm branches they got were probably 20 to 30 feet tall. And when they would process back to the temple, they would wave them. And it made a whooshing sound. On Acts chapter 2, there was a sound like a whooshing mighty wind. All right? So they would wave those and then put those at the side of the altar. At the same time, another group of priests, the high priest, went down to the pool of Siloam. The pool of Siloam is where Jesus, remember, he spits on the ground, turns the mud into clay, puts it on the guy's eye, says, go wash in the pool of Siloam. He washes off his eyes. The pool of Siloam was referred to as living water. And all of a sudden, light flooded his being. How many know when you receive the living water from Jesus, the light of truth and the Word of God floods your life? Are you glad?
Yes.
All right. But now it doesn't just end there. They fill this gold pitcher with water from the pool of Siloam. They have a silver pitcher with wine. And they go to the altar. They do this once a day for 7 days. On the seventh day, they do it seven times. But they pour the water and the wine into a basin that goes out to the Valley of Kidron. Referring to the Holy Spirit, the rains, the river, the living water that will come when the Messiah brings the Holy Spirit. And on the last day of the feast, your Bible tells you, and you can always understand what it's referring to when you see what the grains were, what the fruit was. On the last day of this event, and these, the lighting ceremony and the water libation ceremony were added after Moses, but Jesus worked with him. This is what Jesus came and saw every year. And at the last day of the feast, Jesus stands up. And by the way, the rabbis taught sitting down. So Jesus stands up with boldness and raises his voice and declares, I am the living water. If you are thirsty, come to me, and out of your innermost beings will flow what? Rivers of living water. So you can do this all day long down at the temple grounds, but if you really want the Messiah, I'm here. Do you think that those verses and the truth of what unfolded will stick with you now a little bit better?
Yeah.
How many think they knew what they were seeing? They were stunned. But they knew what they were seeing. The fulfillment of the dress rehearsal. Now, the same day of the last day of the feast, generations earlier, Haggai 2, verse 9, he prophesies, the glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former. Now you have, in Passover and Pentecost, fulfillment. In Tabernacles, you do not yet have fulfillment. You go to the book of Revelation, and you go to the book of Hebrews, and you see the heavens opened. Remember, Jesus comes back and presents the blood to the Father, but there's an ark that they see in heaven. When the heavens are opened, the ark of God's presence. You go to the book of Revelation. It's fulfilled in the last feast of Tabernacles, the final wrap-up, the final ingathering is going to happen. How many want to be a part of the final ingathering of the Lord? And how many want to bring as many people with you as you possibly can? Oh God, move by your Spirit. Pour out your Holy Spirit. There is a great fulfillment coming to the house of God, to the body of Christ. Now let's learn a little bit more today as we go on, and we'll conclude our series on the Feast of Tabernacles. There's so much more in the feast that we could study, but I believe as we give you this taste, you can go to the Scriptures and see it on your own. All right, what was the purpose of Israel? Passover is where you and your family are covered by the blood of the Lamb. Again, have a personal Passover. Pentecost is the birthing of a nation. It parallels the first Pentecost, which was not Acts 2, but Moses in the Mount, getting the pattern in the Mount. The outpouring of the Spirit of God then bursts the church in the same way the nation's birth. But Tabernacles, this is great. Tabernacles was also called the Feast of the Nations. Say that with me, please. Feast of the Nations. Israel was called to be the example on earth of how to walk with God and how to show how to have divine relationships. Watch the Scripture. Genesis 12, verse 3. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you, say the last phrase with me, please, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Deuteronomy 28, 10. Then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you, speaking to Israel. Exodus 19, verse 6. You shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. How many know in Peter, he calls us as New Testament believers, believer priests unto our Lord. All right, Isaiah 56, verse 7. Even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings, their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. Please say it with me. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. Say it with me, that last phrase, three words. For all nations. Jesus in the New Testament, you remember, was upset. They turned the court of the Gentiles, which is where others from other nations were supposed to be able to come in and be there in that area so they could worship God. And they turned it into a den of robbers and thieves, remember? They turned it into a mercantile or a merchantile place and money changers, and all of this was taking place. Now in Jewish literature, a major theme of the Feast of Booths is Israel's role in the redemption of the world. The Talmud explains that, now watch this, there were 70 bulls sacrificed. There were a lot of sacrifices going on during the Feast of Tabernacles. But there were 70 bulls sacrificed. The first day of the 7 days, 13, the next day 12, the next day 11, until finally on the seventh day there were 7, and it totaled 70 bulls. Four, the 70 nations. On Passover, you and your family. On Pentecost, the nation. And then Israel was to have gotten right with God on Yom Kippur, and then they are to offer intercession for the nations of the world. They were called to demonstrate the presence of God. What does the Bible tell us now to do? Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. How many know they could use a little bit of peace? Pray that their eyes open to see Jesus as their Messiah. There's the holy calling that yet remains. Watch what the Bible says about Israel. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me whom they have pierced. Who's that speaking of? Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. John 19:37. Another scripture says, they shall look on him whom they pierced. Romans 10:1. Brethren, Paul says, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. Romans 11:25-29. I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Don't be arrogant. Don't be conceited, the Bible says. You've been grafted in by grace as a wild part of the vine. That's mercy in our lives. How many are glad for the mercy of God? And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer will come out of Zion. He will turn away ungodliness from Jacob, for this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Romans 11:15. For if their being cast away is the reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be, but say it with me, life from the dead? Now watch Jeremiah 31-36. Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 36. Now you recall this scripture. It's a fantastic scripture. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord. I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah. Remember, he says, I'll write my word on their hearts and on their minds. He says, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin. Thank God, don't you know he does this for you and me as well? I will remember no more. How many know Israel needs to get saved by surrendering to their Messiah? They need their eyes open to see the Messiah is Jesus. Watch what verse 35 and 36 says. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for a light by day, the ordinances of the moon and the stars for a light by night, who disturbs the sea and its waves roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, says the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. In other words, folks, it ain't gonna happen.
Yeah.
Now the river and the light of God flows out from God's house. Now Israel was to play a part in bringing the whole world to God. The scripture shows us there's still a part. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray they receive their Messiah. But now look at the promise of what God does through His church. Go to the book of Revelation and there's heavenly Jerusalem that comes down. And you see where the Lamb is the light and all of those glorious things. Folks, I believe we're coming close to the end. Now, I don't know if it's post, mid, or pre-trib, or pan-trib, it's all going to pan out all right. I do know it is time to be ready and right with God. Our life, your life, could be taken from you today. Are you ready? But do you know it's bigger than just your sins and mine being forgiven? It's bigger than just our peace. There's a worldwide role that you and I are to play in bringing the kingdom of God on this earth as it is in heaven. How many know you've got neighborhoods out there, neighbors out there, people that don't know the Lord, and the closest thing they'll ever see to Jesus is you. Look at each other, point and say, it's you. The river. Now look at the other person and say, you sure it's me? And then you can say, yeah, I'm sure. All right. You're tapped into something so much bigger than just your salvation or peace. See, we're a consumer generation in America. But it's more than just being a consumer. What does Jesus want us to do? How many remember a long time ago I taught a message on being the blessing of God and bringing the blessing. We've come to bring the blessing of God. That's what we're called to do. The church is the place of God's glory, pouring His glory, His presence, His river, His light out to the earth. Watch John 3:16, several scriptures now. Say it with me, please. You know it by heart. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Watch Zechariah 14, verses 6 through 9. It shall come to pass in that day that there will be no light. The lights will diminish. It will be one day which is known to the Lord, neither day nor night. But at evening time it shall happen that it will be light. Verse 8. And in that day it shall be that living waters shall flow from Jerusalem. Half of them toward the eastern sea, half of them toward the western sea. Both summer and winter it shall occur. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. Have you seen that happen yet?
No.
King over all the earth. And that day it shall be the Lord is one and his name one. Zechariah 14, 16 and 17. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the what? The Feast of Tabernacles. Watch this. And it shall be that whichever of the families of the earth did not come to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, on them there will be no rain. People say today the church is optional. I don't care about the church. The church has a high and holy calling to be the presence of God on this earth. And how many want the rain of God and the anointing of God in your life? Then come to church. Turn to each other and say, let's go to church all the time. Now, sometimes we miss. So that's not the point. The point is, are you plugged into the house of God? You take a look at when they built the Temple of Solomon. They were out in a quarry. They fashioned all these massive, huge stones. And the Bible says they came and they placed them in right where they belonged. And you couldn't hear the sound of a tool because they were all fashioned. How many know God's fashioning each one of our lives to fit right into the house, the temple of God, just like He says. And if you're never in the house of God, how are you going to have the rain? How are you going to be a part of His temple? The temple of Solomon is a type and a foreshadowing of what God wants for the body of Christ, the Feast of Tabernacles, at the end of days. It all ties together. If you want the reign of God's presence, come to God's house. How many know? There is no more sacrifice for sin. It's only Jesus. They can come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles all they want. They ain't going to be any good to having any other sacrifices taking place. They don't do sacrifices now in Israel because there's no temple. But there's only one sacrifice, the final sacrifice, the Lamb of God. Ezekiel 47 verse 1. He brought me back. Watch what happens. Brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was what? There was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. Moses strikes a rock and water gushes out of the rock. The temple of the Lord, there's the river that should be running out from it. Jesus says, I am the living water. If you want waters to really flow, get involved in me. But out from the temple, the house of the Lord, there should be living waters. What happens? Verses 2 and 6 are part of a song that we sing. Water that's not to my ankles, not to my knees. Waters to what? Swim in. Verse 7, there are trees on each side of the bank. Watch. Verses 8 and 9 and verse 12. Then he said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley, enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are, say it out real loud, healed. Then it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there. They will be healed. And everything will live wherever the water goes. There's life. You getting the point? There's life. There's healing. There's power. There's the fragrant anointing of God. Along the bank of the river on this side and that will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither. How many have seen that elsewhere in the Scripture? Where do you see that elsewhere in the Scripture? The book of Revelation. All kinds of trees. Their leaves will not wither. Their fruit will not fail. They'll bear fruit every month. They're ever bearing fruit because they're tapped into the river of God. Their water flows from the... Come on, say that loud. Water flows... How can water flow from the sanctuary? Because the Spirit of God is there. There's an outpouring. The latter rain, the movement of God, the Spirit of God is being poured out. You want to be part of revival? Let the river of God flow in and through you. They'll bear fruit every month. Their fruit will be for food. Their leaves for medicine. Every part of our life in the body of Christ is to bring life and healing. Let's place healing for the nations, the light, the river. Light flows from God's house to the world. A river of fresh water to shine out and to pour out. Turn to each other. Say, shine on. Now turn to the other one and say, pour out. Shine on and pour out. Now I want you to see in Revelation chapter 7, we'll be coming to a close here in a few moments. In about an hour. No, Revelation 7, verses 9 through 12. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes. Notice this next phrase. With what? Palm branches in their hands. Feast of what? Tabernacles. Crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures, they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, amen, blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, and might be to our God forever and ever. Folks from all the nations, don't you want to see that happen? All the nations gathering in and worshiping the Lamb of God, bringing palm branches and rejoicing. Now watch verses 15 through 17 of Revelation chapter 7. Therefore, they're before the throne of God, serve Him day and night in His temple. He who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more, nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living, say it with me please, fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Now you see the heart of God. Now the heart of God, remember we said last week the verse, there's a verse that says, God will tabernacle among them. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. You have the tabernacle of Moses and David's tabernacle and the temple of Solomon. And we find in the New Testament our bodies are His living temple and this tabernacle. And how many know that Mary was the tabernacle for Jesus as an infant prior to being born? And then He was born as a man who took your sins and mine. And the Bible says He wants to be with us. Watch. Verse 15, second part. Look at it again. Say it with me, please. He who sits on the throne shall dwell among them. Come on, say that real loud, because that's an important point. He who sits on the throne will dwell among them. Now, do you know what that means? That's a very boring translation right there. Let me tell you what the Greek actually means right there. After all that we've said and done on all the feasts and the Feast of Tabernacles, the meaning of that phrase right there is this. The one seated upon the throne will erect a booth over them with His presence. From beginning to end, it all ties together, church. God wants to be with His people, and His promise is, I'm going to erect a booth over you so you can go in and feast during the Feast of Tabernacles. You're a part of God's house. You're a part of God's booth where there's celebration, there's party, there's life going on, there's river, there's light, there's anointing, and there's His presence. How many want to be in God's booth?
Yes,
He shall dwell among them. Remember that river in Zechariah? Let's see it fulfilled. Revelation 22, verses 1 through 7. And He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life. Remember, we just saw it in Zechariah. Now we see it in Revelation. Which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the, what? Healing of the nations. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. They'll see His face, His name shall be on their foreheads. A lot better than the mark of the beast on your foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp or light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. How long do you want to reign with Jesus? And he said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Behold, I'm coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Will you stand with me as we close with a few final scriptures? As we spent 10 sessions together learning about the feast of the Lord, and we see it all coming together. In a final wrap-up, we're going to stand, we're going to say these scriptures, and then we're going to have you seated again as we play a final closing song. Revelation chapter 22, verses 12 and 13. Jesus' words. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Listen, church, what is happening here? He's saying, I'm going to come and I'm going to come for my people. Those who are looking for me, those who have gotten themselves ready, those who allowed me to clean them by the blood and allowed the river of life to flow in them. And there's something that's in my family and I'm going to build a booth over them and I'm going to take care of them and I'm going to be with them. And then those people who love him, there's something excited in their spirits and they say, oh, come, Lord Jesus, come, come. Come, do your will. I want to be a part. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come. Come and let him who hears say, come. Let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Are you with me saying, yes, Lord?
Yes, Lord.
I'll drink your water.
I'll drink your water.
I'll see your light. Flow in and through me. And pour out through me. Lord, we long to shine your light so all the nations can see. The body of Christ is supposed to be a thing of beauty, representing God on this earth. Let's hear the end of the matter. Revelation 22, verses 20 and 21. Say it with me, please. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Lord, we thank you for the feasts of the Lord that speak so much to our hearts. And we pray, Lord, that you will have your way in us individually, in our families, in our church, a part of the body of Christ. Let the living water flow. Let the light of the world shine in and through us. Jesus, we thank you that you're going to wrap all this up, and we stand here as your bride saying, we're ready. Use us, Lord. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, the Alpha and Omega. Father, we thank you that you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Lord, you know the purposes from your heart, from the beginning of the book, right through to the last verse of the Scripture. Lord, we love you. And we thank you for being our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords, our Alpha and Omega. Now bless these people who have come here to this place this day. Let them go out with the rejoicing and joy of the Lord as their portion. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we thank you, Lord, that we get to go out happy and rejoicing that we are in your booth. And we worship you. Now bless each one in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Be released.